One of the richest people in the world is Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft. Well, his co-founder, Paul Allen, died yesterday in Seattle at age 65 of complications from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Joining us now to talk about Paul Allen is Todd Bishop. He's co-founder and editor of GeekWire, and he is in Seattle. Hi, Todd.
Good morning.
So Bill Gates said personal computing would not have existed without Paul Allen. Is that true?
Certainly, there's a case to be made. Perhaps someone else would have come along and brought the PC revolution into the mainstream, but Paul Allen played a pivotal role. He convinced Bill Gates to drop out of Harvard and create the first basic program for the Altair 8800, and that was really viewed by many as the first personal computer. So as we are all now walking around with computers in our pockets, mm-hmm. I think we can trace that lineage back to that moment.
Well, how is he being remembered today? What are people saying about his legacy?
Paul Allen had a second act after Microsoft. So he is being remembered in two ways. First, for that influence that we just discussed. But second, for his massive and eclectic, some might say random, interests and pursuits. He was all over the map, both literally and figuratively, here in Seattle and with his various projects. Everything from owning the Seattle Seahawks to the Portland Trailblazers to creating the Experience Music Project, now known as MoPop here in Seattle. You look around, he basically created the neighborhood that became Amazon's first headquarters here, transformed so much here in this city, and I think people here in Seattle, at least, are remembering that legacy today.
If you walk around Seattle and ask people who's Paul Allen, they'll be able to tell you the answer.
They will, but it's interesting because nationally, I don't think that's true. Certainly, if you ask who the founder of Microsoft was, people will say Bill Gates,
right.
And I think that speaks to Paul Allen's privacy. He was a very private person.
Tell us about his early life. Did people know that he would be, I guess you would say, a genius?
In some ways, he certainly showed signs of it very early on. That said, he was not your prototypical nerd. He was interested in sports and music and, of course, science fiction. And it was really the formative years at Lakeside School, the private school here in Seattle, where he met Bill Gates and they started to learn to program. They went to the University of Washington campus late at night, famously got kicked out of a lot of the labs there. And ultimately, Paul Allen basically convinced Gates to start Microsoft, that then was the time back in 1975.
And yet their relationship was not always great. I was watching a 60 Minutes special about Paul Allen, and most of it is about his rocky relationship with Bill Gates.
That's true. And when Paul Allen left Microsoft in 1983, he had contracted his first case of cancer and ultimately beat that when he had Hodgkin's lymphoma. And at the time, he reported later in his biography, Idea Man, that Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, who became Microsoft CEO, they were trying to basically squeeze Paul Allen out of his shares in the company. And certainly at that moment and elsewhere in the company's history, there were divides between the two founders.
What was the problem?
You know, I think that these were two very driven people. And certainly Bill Gates at the time and subsequent to Paul Allen's departure was building an empire. And I think Paul Allen, his personality was a little bit more thoughtful and already thinking about philanthropy and his impact on the world, especially having spoken with him about this. I know that that first cancer diagnosis was extremely formative for him. It made him reassess his life and think about the broader impact that he would have long term. And I don't think Bill Gates was quite there at that point yet.
But in more recent days, I mean, we see Bill Gates' statement about Paul Allen. He's being very nice about him today.
He certainly is. And there have been reports since the release of Idea Man in 2011 that the two have repaired their relationship. Mm-hmm. I can tell you at the time in 2011, there was definitely a divide between them over many of the things that Paul Allen wrote in that book. But reports at least are that they've connected since then and mm-hmm. appear to have mended their relationship.
You mentioned that we've all got a computer in our pocket these days. What did Paul Allen think of technology today?
He was extremely optimistic. In fact, one of the many things that he created in Seattle was an institute called the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence, AI2, in addition to the Allen Institute for Brain Science, which is actually really fascinating. He had both the artificial and the organic elements of that kind of processing. But he was extremely optimistic, investing in all sorts of technologies, startups, new kinds of institutes, and commercial space. Mm-hmm. His venture called Stratolaunch plans to launch rockets into the stratosphere and beyond from what will be the world's largest airplane. So this was a man whose ambition and hope for the future clearly persisted until the end of his life.
Just finally, a thought about him. You interviewed him many times.
Yes, I've interviewed him at least twice. And the privacy was remarkable. I interviewed him at Town Hall, a large venue here in Seattle in 2011. And I remember after meeting him backstage, we had to walk up to the stage and there was not a facility to do it in a way that he could navigate by going backstage. So we had to sort of walk up the side of the crowd, and he was extremely nervous about interacting with the public. And yet he was also extremely candid and forthcoming on stage at that same appearance.
That is Todd Bishop, co-founder and editor of GeekWire, remembering Paul Allen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.